What gift do you bring? Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, the wonderful moment where the wise men show up and Christ is revealed to the world. But it's also that kind of classic moment that gets conflated. It's one of those stories that is a very separate story from one that happened 12 days ago on Christmas. That's the Gospel of Luke, and he's got a different story to tell. Matthew has a different one as well, but we ended up still with a creche where everybody's all in the same scene. And the big difference we know is this. In that Luke moment, the shepherds learn immediately that Jesus has been born, and they go and see a child wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. For this story, the wise men see a star, and then they have to travel to Bethlehem to get to the star. They tell Herod, and then they do a whole bunch of calculations, and it's basically, Jesus is about 2 years old by the time the wise men make it to Bethlehem. It's a very different story and a different scene. They're not showing up at the same moments at all. And the real thing that probably we should be saying more than anything else is we should really be questioning the term wise men. They're not wise in any sense of the word. Certainly there are plenty of jokes out there that if it was wise women, they would have come with more appropriate gifts for a child. It would be a very different baby shower in those moments, which is probably not wrong. But I can tell you, I'm on Joseph's side on this one, I would have loved for someone to come to the baby shower with a couple blocks of gold. I would have been a very happy dad in that moment. It would have fit just fine. But the bigger problem is these guys prove that they are not wise in any conventional political sense of the term, because they travel all this way. They go to the local king, who is Herod the Great, and they say to him, "Hey, where's the new king?" It is probably the dumbest possible thing you could do to any ruler. Say, "I heard there's a new guy who's going to take over for you real soon." It sets into motion a horrible series of events where Mary and Joseph have to flee to Egypt, and literally all the children of Bethlehem are put to death, the holy innocents for whom our church is named. They go and they ask Herod the Great, "Who's going to replace you?" Now, we should know just real quickly, Herod the Great was not a good guy. At the time, Augustus Caesar said it was better to be Herod's pig than to be a member of his family, because Herod literally killed about 2/3 of his family because they were possibly usurpers to his throne. He had 2 of his sons killed. He personally choked his wife to death. He was not a good man. Not in any sense. And this is the one the wise men go to and say, "Tell us where the new guy's at." They're oblivious in every sense of the word. But they go and they get approval more or less from Herod, who Herod's really just trying to figure out where Jesus is so he can off him. But he goes out and they decide, the wise men go out to find Jesus. And there's a strange quality about the star that they follow. It's really the first century GPS is the best way to say it. It's not a star that's fixed in the sky. It's a star that moves with them as they go to find Jesus. And it stops when they finally get to the right house. I mean, truly a different kind of star. And they come in and they bring gifts. They bring gifts that, on one hand, makes sense. Gold can be used. We understand that one regardless. Frankincense was actually of more value per ounce than gold in the ancient world. It was unbelievably valuable. And myrrh was a perfume that in the world where you didn't take baths, perfume's pretty important. It matters a lot. But there's more power to them if we really know the symbolism of them. In the 21st century, we hear gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and we think of concrete objects. We don't tend to think symbolically, but that's how gifts were given in the ancient world. It wasn't just gold. There was symbolism behind it. And so there was, about 100 years ago, a Episcopal teacher, minister at General Theological Seminary, who said, people aren't getting the meaning here. So he sat down and he wrote a song, We Three Kings to try and explain the entire feast day to us. And we know the main part. Everyone can say, We Three Kings of Orient are. Everyone knows that part. But we don't tend to know the verses, which are the part that he was truly trying to teach. That is, in the first verse, he says, Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. It's gold, but it's absolutely symbolic of the kingship, the lordship, the ruling aspect of the Christ who has come among us. The second verse, frankincense. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising all men raise him, worship him, God most high. Frankincense is not simply a nice smelling item. It's one that when burned is supposed to symbolize our prayers going to heaven, but even more a deep connection. And so in this moment when he hands over frankincense, it's symbolic of Christ as God among us, our Emmanuel. And then there's myrrh. And myrrh is the worst and hardest verse because it is about the other aspect of this child who is before us. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume brings to mind a gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb. It is Christ as sacrifice. And so on one hand, we see the images and we go, oh, it's gold and frankincense and myrrh, but we miss that deeper meaning that there's more going on. That here is our God who is King and God and also sacrifice in a small child. What gift do we bring? That's the fundamental question of this season in so many ways. What gift do we bring? Full of symbolism or simple attitude, it doesn't matter. What gift do we bring in this season to Christ? I asked that question about 20 years ago when I was a youth minister on a ski trip. Was working with some kids, and first I asked them, what are the three gifts the kings bring? And this one little girl shot her hand up in the air. I called on her, and she said, hand lotion. I was like, that's not one. That's not it. But in time, they got all three. They got the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. And I said to them, really speaking rhetorically more than anything else, what gift do you bring to offer to the king? And a hand actually went up, which threw me off a little because it was a rhetorical question. But a hand went up, and this young girl said, me. That's all I can give is me, which probably is the ultimate answer. All we can offer our King and our God and our sacrifice is ourselves. All we can offer is who we are and give of our time and our talent and our treasure. This season that we are now entering, this new season of the year, Christmas ends today and we begin now Epiphany, this revelation of God among us. And I hope and pray that for each of you, it invites you into a deeper relationship with God. But even more in that relationship, helps you to ask the question, what do I have to offer my God, my King, and my sacrifice? Amen.